So you know who's a diehard of all things sports, I would say? It's Chris Rose, who joins us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests of 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Chris Rose, NFL Network, John Boy Media. Of course, BattleBots, baby. Love me some BattleBots. Chris, good morning. You're on with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great. We're talking on a lot today. OTAs obviously started in the NFL. The talk of the town, obviously, Brock Purdy getting that fat contract. We'll get to the Giants, but I did want to stick with the Niners because that was the conversation we were just having. Christian McCaffrey and his availability, right? Like, that's a guy, when he is out there, could be the best player on the field at any given time. Last year, he wasn't on the field enough, and the media will be able to watch him practice tomorrow. So his burst, the bilateral Achilles tendonitis, that's a big question mark. But let's stick to the quarterback real quick here, Chris. When you saw Brock Purdy get that contract, what was your initial thoughts?
Well, I mean, I get it. They were kind of screwed. Because, you know, there aren't a lot of organizations that can keep hitting the reset button on quarterback. Really, the Niners are about the only one that's been able to successfully do it, right? They go from Jimmy G to trying to hand the reins to Trey Lance to finding Brock Purdy, and they have stayed in contention pretty much throughout. Have they had a couple of down years throughout this, you know, 7-8 year run that they've been on? Sure, they have. But there aren't other organizations that would be able to deal with trading away 3 first-round picks for a guy and having him barely play. Now probably it's showing up a little bit in their lack of depth. But, I mean, what were you going to do? Let him walk after this year? No. So in order for him to accept an agreement, they had to go in the $50 million range. And we can all sit here and say, well, I wouldn't pay Brock Purdy more than $40 million a year. Well, you're not in that position where you can see a quarterback, starting quarterback in this sort of system, walk away. Will it have its pitfalls? Possibly. But I think they were kind of up against it.
Sounds like you don't like the deal. Is that true?
I'm not going to say I don't like the deal. I don't think that the NFL has figured out how to properly value guys who aren't elite. So the hardest thing to do in this sport is find the right guy under center, right? We can all agree on that. But there are so few Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow. Then we even have a tough time figuring out, like, who's the fifth best quarterback in the league. And some people will say, well, I'll take Jalen Hurts. And some people will say, well, Jalen Hurts can't do anything without A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley and one of the great offensive lines in the league. And, you know, that's where the argument goes after those top four guys. And so trying to figure out what to pay the next line of quarterbacks and even the line that's like a half step beyond that, guys that you feel like are good enough to win, but everything's kind of got to go right. And so are they really the guy? We just haven't figured out how to properly value those dudes.
Talking to Chris Rose here on the River Islands guest line, The Morning Roast, NFL Network, John Boy Media. And it's fascinating stuff, Chris, because I think a lot of our jaws just dropped when you said that. And he didn't say anything like inflammatory, but it's just this notion of elite quarterbacks. And it's that word that always triggers everyone, right? For the longest time, what was it? Joe Flacco, is he elite, right?
Well, it's like the ace conversation we were having. Yeah. And I was saying to Joe earlier that, like, just because you're the number one in the rotation in baseball doesn't make you an ace.
No.
You might be you might be a frontline starter, but my threshold for that word is significantly higher, and I think we throw it around. The word elite, we kind of throw it around, and like to me, elite is like a select few, right? So I guess there's a happy medium in how we throw these words around.
Yeah, or franchise quarterback, right? Everybody goes, because he's drafted in the first round. Well, they got there for it. Do we really know if Jackson Dart is going to be the Giants franchise quarterback?
I have no clue.
Just because he was, I have zero idea about it. I don't even know if Cam Ward's going to be the franchise quarterback, and he went number one overall. So I would agree with you. I've never felt like there have been 30 aces in baseball, because when somebody says, well, we got to go against the ace of their staff, yo, let's slow that for just a second because you might be facing a crappy pitching staff. Dude might just be, you know, the best on that team. So, you know, but he might be the fourth best starter on somebody else's team. And it just, I agree with you. Never made sense.
Yeah. No, I love this. And so we were kicking this around earlier. And since, you know, you brought up kind of the baseball thing and, you know, do you consider Logan Webb an ace? I said, you know, Matt Cain for so long was a great player. Love him. One of my favorites. Lincecum for the longest time was their ace. And he was, there was a cachet, if you will, and a swagger and the team and the fan base. And everyone knew it was a win day. Not that Matt Cain wasn't great. He was great. But Logan Webb is a great player. I'm just not sure I have him as a quote unquote ace. Is he an ace for you?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
And obviously people who follow what I do know that, you know, I'm pretty close with Logan. He was on our show, Chris Rose Rotation, for a long time. But I think I'm able to separate a little bit of who those guys are and maybe a personal relationship with what I do consider an ace. And here's why I do. Makes every start, which in today's game, you can't take lightly. He is out there every fifth day. He is pissed if he doesn't see the seventh inning. So when he only sees six, he's steaming for those 4 days in between his starts. This year, he's actually striking out a ton more guys than he ever has. I mean, if you look at his line last night, six innings, 10 Ks, one walk, three earned, seven hits. He's never going to be a guy that will, he'll never throw a no-hitter. He just, too many guys put the ball in play and will find a hole. Even on his best nights, he's getting ground balls, and sometimes they're hit at defenders, and sometimes they don't. And for people that aren't huge baseball fans, coaches are begging for you to have teams hit the ball on the ground. They will take that 1,000 times out of 1,000. And that's what Logan Webb does as well as anybody. So you know exactly, A, that you can depend on him to show up. B, that if you turn the TV on for the first time in a Giants game and it's a sixth or seventh inning, you have a pretty good chance of still seeing Logan Webb out there. To me, that is an ace in today's world.
Talking with Chris Rose here, NFL Network, John Mamina. Chris, what do you make of the Giants' season thus far? Seven games over 500, a recent scuffle here. The bats just have been atrocious. Willie Adames, obviously, their huge offseason signing, has not really gotten it going offensively or defensively at times, quite frankly. He had a couple hits yesterday. Chapman, obviously, a streaky player offensively. You know what you're getting defensively there. And then Patrick Bailey, batting 175. I know catching batting averages are down across the board, but 175 is yikes. That's some like starting pitcher from like a decade ago in the NL stuff. What are you making of the Giants, though, seven games over 500 here on May 28th?
Yeah, worse than the .175. I mean, really, OPS is the number that people are focusing on these days because it takes into account the amount of damage you're doing when you put the ball in play, right? And his is sub-500, which is horrific. I mean, the league average is right around 700. His is under 500, which is unacceptable. So when the Giants got off to this great, great start, I said, you know, part of the reason I'm still skeptical is because of the lineup. And it was at a time when they were still hitting pretty well. And it really just, here's the biggest problem with the Giants. I don't know where the fix comes from. It doesn't like they've got a ton of guys knocking on the door. I think it has to come from the guys who are in the lineup. And yes, Willie Adames, you know, you knew that possibly metrically he was going to fall off significantly when he went to San Francisco. But part of the reason you pay him $182 million is like for the guy that he is every day. That goes a long way in a long season. And the fact that, yeah, he's ticked off that he's putting up these kind of numbers, but he's still going to be the same guy every day, that sort of stuff. Well, he does have to produce. He can't be sitting at the numbers that he's sitting at right now in order for them to be as good as they are. Late night Lamont has been a disappearing act at first base. Basically, it's been their outfield and Wilmer Flores that have pretty much carried them to this point. And, you know, even Jung Ho Lee has not had a good month of May. I'm just worried based on A, the division they're in, that they would be able to make the playoffs with, you know, also the Mets and the Phillies. I wouldn't count out the Braves. I'm not sold on the Cardinals yet. I still think you only have to worry about one team in the Central. But then you've got, you know, the Padres, who are still really good, the Dodgers, and who knows what's going on with the Diamondbacks bullpen. But, yeah, I'm a little worried about the Giants.
I hear you, and I was going to ask you if you think they can make the playoffs, and it seems like you're very skeptical. What guys are out there that they should be targeting in a trade? Because it still feels like as good as the team is around the Giants right now, they're missing a centerpiece guy where all these other dudes could slot into. Is there anyone out there that they should be targeting?
So what you really have to do is look at the crappy teams, because those are the ones that are going to be giving up guys. And it's not a great selection this year. It's just not really. I suppose the benefit is that the Giants, it feels like they've got an overflow when Verlander returns, a little bit of an overflow of starting pitching, and their bullpen has been phenomenal this year. It's why they are 7 games over .500, 55 games into the year. And those are two areas where teams are starving for help. So is it possible you could pry a guy who's got a couple of years still of service time left on a contract, but is a solid everyday player? I don't think you're going to get a lineup changer. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, I don't think that happens during the season in a trade. I think it happens off season in a monumental trade. I think it happens off season when there are free agents to be had. But I really don't see too many guys out there that can be had.
Talking to Chris Rose here, NFL Network, John Boy Media. Also a diehard Cleveland sports fan. I want to end it with this, Chris, and we really appreciate your time this morning. Were you following along and I'm sure you did, this is a silly question, but you're known obviously for the football and baseball, but basketball, the Cleveland Cavaliers, were you a believer in them as like legit championship contenders at any point this season?
Yeah, I was, but I had the same questions going into this playoff that I had last year when they got bounced in the Eastern Conference semis by Boston, which was, A, is the backcourt too small, and B, is the front court too big? And what I mean by that is, you know, Mitchell is only 6'3". You can't run him at the point. Garland's 6 feet and is constantly banged up. The front court, Mobley, we knew that defenders were going to make him prove it, that he could hit threes consistently like he did during the regular season, but do it in the playoffs. And he played great. He played really well. And then Jared Allen, you know, he doesn't shoot from outside of 10 feet. So was he going to be an offensive liability? Was it going to be like they were going to play 4-on-5? And he was fine in the Miami series, but when we stepped it up in competition, he was lost. So the construction of this team feels a little flawed for the way the game's played. Indiana consistently had 5 shooters on the floor against us, and we had at most 4. And unfortunately, a team that shot the ball exceptionally well and was really efficient offensively in the regular season just bottomed out and lost to a team that played better in 5 games. So did I think they had a chance to win the NBA championship? Absolutely. I mean, the teams, whether it's Indiana and OKC or if the Knicks and Minnesota end up making it to the final, whatever, the Cavs aren't worse than those teams. They just didn't play as well when it mattered most.
No, and it's frustrating because we're the home of the Warriors, so it feels like you're seeing Indiana get there, right? And OKC, it might just be OKC's year, and maybe they get there and they sweep or they win in 5, and it's just like you look back, it's like, all right, maybe no one was beating the Thunder this year. They were that freaking good. And it took the Nuggets in their 7-game series against one of the greatest players of all time, Nikola Jokic, to even push them. But it does feel like if you're a Cavs fan, if you're a Warriors fan, you might look at the end of this year and be like, man, this might have been the most wide-open postseason we had in quite some time, because obviously the Tatum injury changed everything with the Celtics. And it's just frustrating, right? So, hey, Chris, we appreciate the time. Good stuff as always, and we'll catch up soon.
Guys, thank you. Appreciate it.
There he goes. That's Chris Rose, NFL Network, John Boy Media. Play-by-play for BattleBots on the Science Channel. Also does some interim broadcasting for the Cleveland Browns.